Happy Star Wars Day, everyone. May the 4th be with you. Any Star Wars fans out there? Yeah? Today's May 4th. It's the unofficial holiday for Star Wars fans. It's a play on the famous phrase, "May the Force be with you." Do I need to explain this? Has everybody seen Star Wars? Has anybody not seen Star Wars? Oh, Kevin. I'm going to do this for Kevin. In Star Wars, the Force is fake. Great. But it's for the movies. In the movies, it's this universal energy field that, like, it's created by all living beings, right? And it binds the galaxy together. So in the movies, "May the Force be with you" is a phrase that the characters would say to one another. They usually said this phrase when they wanted to wish a person good luck. Like, "May the Force be with you. May the Force work out in your favor." I don't know, maybe "May the Force bless you" or "help you out," that kind of thing. Today's date, May 4th, is just a play on the words. "May the 4th be with you." All right, well, we are in the book of Ruth, and last time we were in chapter 1, and it started out with so much promise. Here was the family tree. There was a famine, so this family went to a foreign country in search of a better life. Husband, wife, two kids. The boys grow up, get married, and it started looking like life was, you know, looking up. But the men passed away, the dad and the sons. And one of the daughter-in-laws leaves, and so there are two people left at the end of the chapter. Naomi, the mother, and Ruth, her daughter, her other daughter-in-law. And I encouraged us to be like both women in a certain way. I invited us to be like Naomi in her contagious faith. Who knows that we are being honed or sharpened for others to see, especially for our kids to see, our children to see. Do our friends or family or coworkers or our own kids see our faith, and are they inspired by it? What kind of example in faith are we to other people? Naomi's faith inspired Ruth to follow her. And then I invited us to be like Ruth. In her loyal declaration, that sense of awe, that sense of desire to have that relationship with God. Do you remember what she said? "Where you will go, I will go. Where you will stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So today we will begin chapter 2, but before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, at the end of last time, Naomi hears that the famine is over, and she's probably like, you know, she's like so done with living in a foreign land. So most of her family has died. So she and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, pack it up and come back to Judah, come back to Bethlehem. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Just as the harvest was beginning, things are looking up. The famine was over, and there's an actual harvest, so that's good news. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name is Boaz. All right, so Naomi's husband, Elimelech, who has passed away by now, had a relative named Boaz, probably like a distant relative. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her daughter, "Go ahead." Said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." Ruth immediately wants to get working. She takes the initiative. "We're back in your home country, Naomi, but we still need to eat. We got to earn some money. Let me go work the fields." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. So by sheer coincidence, or maybe God's providence, Ruth happens to pick a random field that happens to be owned by Boaz, the distant relative of Naomi's dead husband. Gleaning is just picking up leftover grain. This is basically what Ruth is doing. She's picking up leftover scraps. How many of you guys have pets, especially dogs? I know you guys, moose, that's right, right? There's Bolt, right? They know to sit near the high chair when you're feeding your baby, right? Why? Because of the scraps, right? They know that your kid is a messy eater and they can get some nice scraps. Kind of the same thing here. Back then, there's actually Old Testament laws that required them to leave behind scraps. It was actually written into the law. You can think of it like mandatory generosity. In Leviticus 23, verse 22, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. You ever eat yogurt out of those single-serving cups? I had a Greek yogurt phase in my life. I had it every day, just about every day. The contour of the spoon never matches that edge of the yogurt cup, right? And so we're always kind of trying to get that last bit, right? It's a conspiracy, right? And so we're trying to angle everything, and applesauce containers are the worst, right? Because it's like a right angle, right? And so there's always a bit left over. When my son was younger, he would stick his entire face into that cup, try to swirl his tongue around, and it never worked, right? And so he'd come up, and there'd just be a ring of yogurt, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But God says, in your harvest, don't try to gather every single thing. Leave behind some scraps. The law today would be to leave your yogurt cups to your pets, right? Don't try to get everything out. Isn't this cool? Like the poor, the foreigner, maybe widows, basically like the less fortunate, is for so they could find food for themselves. We don't have laws like that today. Ruth is both poor and a foreigner. The law was made for people like her. Verse 4, just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. May the fourth be with you. No, I'm sorry. Is that what he said? No, okay. I'm sorry. No, he said, the Lord be with you. May the fourth be with you, they answered. No. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Okay, the Lord bless you, they answered. Actually, the Bible scholars went back, and the actual date Boaz entered the fields that day was May 4th of that year. Isn't that crazy? This exchange happened May 4th, 1148 BC. Today is May 4th, 2025. It is exactly 3,173 years after this conversation to the day. Isn't that amazing? Okay, none of that was true. Okay, I completely made it up. It's fake. I have no idea when this exchange happened. The Bible doesn't say. But I feel like you guys are sometimes like, oh, Andy puts up some charts and graphs and numbers and it must be true. So you have to fact check your pastors, okay? Boaz asked the overseer of the harvest, who does that young woman belong to? He probably knows everybody in the field. So, you know, he's like, who dat? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves and behind the harvesters. She came to the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. That random woman over there asked permission to gather our scraps. We said yes. She's been here this entire time since the morning. She took a short break. And actually, we will read that Boaz has already heard a lot about Ruth, but maybe he just didn't know what she looked like. When the worker says she's from Moabite, she's the Moabite, the foreigner who came back from with Naomi, Boaz must have been like, that's who she is. That's what she looks like. So he approaches her. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the woman who worked for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along the other woman. Don't go elsewhere. Stay here. You'll be safe here. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me? A foreigner. Why are you so nice to me? She doesn't know that Boaz was related to Naomi. Well, I've heard good things about you. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Ruth is taking really good care of Naomi. You ever butter up somebody because you want something from them? Oh, just me. You start acting all nice and obedient to your parents because you want something from them, or a teacher, or a boss? I've done that. My son is starting to do that. He knows which parent to ask if he wants something. Any of you know which parent to ask when you want something? Yeah, you do. That's right. Maybe we're nice to people because we want something from them. Maybe some people are nice to the parents as their parents are passing. eagerly looking forward to the inheritance, right? Ruth knows that Naomi is not leaving much behind of an inheritance. They have nothing. Ruth is not getting anything. But Ruth still decides to care for her, her own mother-in-law. Ruth is taking care of Naomi because of her own character, not because she's hoping to get anything out of it. And this care must be legendary because word is definitely getting around. Now even Boaz has heard about how well Ruth is taking care of Naomi. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Check out this blessing. May the Lord repay you. May you be richly rewarded. Basically, may the fourth be with you again. He blesses her in God's name. When I read the second part of this verse, you have come to take refuge, I was reminded of this like this. There's this live cam of an eagle's nest in Big Bear Lake. Do you guys know this live cam? My wife is nodding, but of course, because I've shown it to you. I've been addicted to it. They set up a live camera next to this eagle's nest. If the internet in here is working, this is a live video feed. You can check the date and timestamp. This is happening right now. Yeah, good. When I started, there were just two eggs there, but now there are two eaglets, and it's been cool seeing them grow up. They have grown up very quickly, and over the past couple of months, I saw these two parent eagles switching off, sitting on the eggs to keep them warm, and the other went off to hunt for food or whatever. It was pretty cool. So when I read, "Under whose wings you have come to take refuge," I immediately thought of this live cam. I saw how safe the eggs were, how safe the baby eaglets were when they hatched. The parent eagles would cover them up under the wings, keeping them safe. And even as it rained or snowed in Big Bear, overnight the snow would just like pile up on top of the nest and on top of the eagle. And so it'd just be covered up. And the eagle would just kind of just stay there, covering up as it sat dutifully on the eggs. It was amazing. And then every once in a while it would ruffle its feathers to get the snow off. And then you could see the snow continue. Even God uses this analogy when he delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He reminds the people in Exodus 19:4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." When Boaz says, "May you be richly rewarded by God under whose wings you have come to take refuge," he's praying that God is going to take care of both Ruth and Naomi. They've been through some tough times, and he's blessing them. May the Lord repay you. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord. In verse 13, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. Basically, may the fourth be with me, right? "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When I first read this, I thought to myself, I thought Boaz liked Ruth. Why is he offering bread dipped in vinegar? And I don't know about you, this does not sound tasty to me. After a long day of working out in the fields, hot sun, here, have some carbs dipped in flavored acid. And so this is something that I would offer to someone I didn't like. This is how I would punish anchor students. Like if they talk in class, I would make them, look, here, go eat some bread with vinegar, right? Now, like if you can use like olive oil or balsamic vinegar, I can get that. I can get behind that. Like my son and I love whole grain bread with extra virgin olive oil with avocado from our tree, right? So that's tasty. But I like my son. I would never offer him bread dipped in vinegar unless he was being disciplined, right? So last time I got his baby with candy bars, but this time. I brought some red wine vinegar from Pompeian, and I got some bread for us to try. They will be outside after service, and we can all try this together, all right? And I'll have youth kids helping me out. We still have baby Ruth candy bars from last time, because we in honor of beginning the book of Ruth, so we still have extra from there. I encourage you all to try them afterwards and tell me what you think, okay? We will do that. This will be after service, after communion, all right? So Boaz tells his workers, I'm going to summarize, "Let her gather, pull out some stalks, and leave them for her. Don't don't yell at her. All right, and this is the first time I've ever read a boss saying, hey, you guys, be sloppy. All right, be messy, leave behind some scraps, right? Verse 17, so Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Okay, so apparently an ephah is about 30 to 40 pounds, a large sack of potatoes. Actually, three sacks. So I like to get red potatoes at Sam's Club. Today's just a food sermon. Anyone else? Like, I make baked fries, and my son loves them. All right, these baked potatoes I see at Sam's Club are 10 pounds. So Ruth basically gathered about 3 to 4 bags worth of these. All right, Ruth carries it back, and there's plenty for Ruth and Naomi. I'll skip that. And verse 19, her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? May the fourth be with the man who took notice of you. Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Ruth is like, some random guy named Boaz. The Lord bless him. May the fourth be with him, right? But the Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. All right, we will talk more about guardian redeemers next time, but as you can kind of tell from the phrase, it's kind of like a person who's responsible for helping out a relative. Think of somebody in your family who is always helping out others. Maybe someone in your extended family. Maybe someone always coming over and fixing things out or helping you out. That's your guardian redeemer. I want to make 3 points, and the first is, let's be like Ruth. The first is, let's be like Ruth. In today's passage, Boaz heard about Ruth's actions. Verse 11, I've been told about what you have done, and it's good. I've heard about you, and it's good. You left your home country. You left your parents. It's just you taking care of your mother-in-law. Thank you for what you have done. Go ahead and gather and glean my fields anytime, and then some. My old mom drives me nuts sometimes. And sometimes I don't respond well to her. I can get really impatient with her. Not sure if any of you can relate getting impatient or frustrated with a parent. When I think about the way Ruth takes care of Naomi, her mother-in-law, not just her mother, but her mother-in-law, I think about the way sometimes I treat my mom. And I come out short. If I went out to the fields to glean for leftover grain, I'm not sure that Boaz would have let me continue. Ruth? Oh, I've heard about her. She can glean anytime. Have her stay a while. Who is that guy over there? Oh, Andy? You know, I've heard about him and the way he treats his mom. I'm not sure about him. Maybe he can go glean somewhere else. What about you? How do you treat your parents? If Boaz saw you and how you treated your parents, would he let you glean in his fields? If Boaz saw you and how you treated your own parents, would he let you glean in his fields? Think about that for a moment. We represent God. We honor God through our work, our actions, especially if it's public. Boaz heard about Ruth's character and behavior and hard work. People heard about how well Ruth treated Naomi, her own mother-in-law. I see Fenny taking care of her mom all the time. They live down the street from us. Boaz would welcome Fenny. What about you? Looking at the big picture, this really isn't about how well you treat your parents, right? It's about how well you treat others. Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your bosses, your teachers. Chat. If Boaz heard about the way you treated your siblings, and you know who I'm talking about, would he let you gather in his field? How well Ruth treated Naomi is pivotal in this chapter. It convinced Boaz to be kind and generous to Ruth. How well we treat others has probably affected our life path in some way or another, probably in ways we will never know. Maybe we lost out on opportunities because others heard about the way we treat other people. Maybe doors opened up for us because others heard about the way we treated other people. Have you ever made a decision based on something based on how well you like that person? Yeah. Everyone asks you for a favor and you decide whether or not to do it based on how well you like that person? We all do. Conclusion? Treat your mothers well, everyone, right? Me included. It's Mother's Day next week. Okay, I'm kidding. It's more than that. Treat everyone well. And I recognize that not all of our mothers or parents are here with us today. So treat everyone well. So well, in fact, that maybe people are even talking about how well you treat others, like Ruth. All right, second point. Let's be like Boaz. Let us be like him in going above and beyond in helping others. A guardian redeemer was responsible for helping a relative in terms of crisis. And we'll go into that next time. But in Leviticus 25, if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do you know anyone like this? Someone who is known for helping others? I do. I was able to take my family to visit my parents a couple weeks ago. There's a guy named John who has been helping my dad for over 20 years. I'll let you figure out which one he is in this picture. Anytime there's a problem, my dad would call up John and he would walk over and help out, mowing the lawn or fixing plumbing or repairing things. John was always there to help out my parents. And now he's been taking my dad to the hospital for his chemotherapy appointments. John said that he looks up to my dad as a big brother. He doesn't get anything out of this. He refuses money. My dad treats him to lunch every time. He's taking my dad out to chemotherapy, and he just gets lunch. We were able to visit John during this trip, and my son loves visiting John. They have a basement full of a lot of toys. Ryan Lee, you're not here, but you would love this place. Who do we know who is good at taking care of others? What would it look like if we did that for each other? In this congregation, let's take care of one another. I think many of us need spiritual or emotional help. Maybe even academic help. Maybe even financial help. I know Henry tries to help out people by offering jobs. Jennifer is always helping people out with her cooking. My family's been a beneficiary of that multiple times. I see a lot of this happening already. But let's help each other out. There was a student in Anchor who needed tutoring, and some of the other students are trying to figure out ways to help him. I love seeing that kind of stuff. How many of you know Aki in our congregation? How many of you guys know Aki? How many know his story? In a certain sense, Aki has many similarities to Ruth. It's not a perfect analogy, but there are similarities. Last June, he came over from Yokohama, Japan, to work here in LA. He is currently about 5,500 miles from home. I am currently about 1.8 miles from home. Chat, calm down. He left his friends, he left his family, he left his culture for a chance at a better life in the United States. Does that remind you of Ruth leaving behind her home country, leaving behind her parents? Yokohama is actually the second largest city in Japan by both population and by area. It's the largest trade port in all of Japan. The city has many foreigners living there. Maybe they're more open to different religions. Aki tried out churches in Japan, and he liked them. So when he came here, he wanted to find a church here. So I infer that there must have been Japanese Christians who had contagious faith, like Naomi did. Enough that Aki thought to himself, when I get to the United States, I'm going to find a church there as well. Continue checking out this Christianity thing. Now, Aki is still on his journey of faith today, but he has some parallels with Ruth, leaving behind his home country for a better life and willing to seek God. Do you remember the law in Leviticus? Help them as you would a foreigner and a stranger. Do you remember that? Help them as you would a foreigner and a stranger. Aki is a foreigner. And I think he's a stranger to many of you. My challenge to us today, can we be a Boaz to his Ruth? Can we be a Boaz to his Ruth? How can we be garden redeemers for him? Now, Ruth worked by gathering up leftover grain in Bethlehem. Aki works at Sega in Burbank. So his situation is a little bit different than Ruth, just a little bit. I told you the analogy wasn't perfect. I asked him what kind of help he might need. He has an international driver's license, so getting around is not an issue. He works, so food is not an issue. But it must be scary and lonely to move to a different country, especially when you don't speak the language as well, like Ruth, like Aki. And Aki said his English skills. He needs help with English. He has to take a couple tests in the coming months, one in June and one in September. Part of them deal with English proficiency. The results of these tests will help Sega decide if and when he can bring over his family. And I asked, does his family even want to come over? His wife works for a fashion clothing retailer maker. Headquarters is in Italy. He has a 16-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, perfect ages for Anchor. You know what else would be perfect for Anchor? Sega Genesis game consoles. Hook us up, Aki. All right? I'm kidding. Mostly. I asked him why his kids would even want to come to America. You know what he answered? His kids like American culture, American pop. I thought only K-pop and J-pop were big. Is there such a thing as A-pop? Like, I didn't think so. I typed an A-pop into Google, and Google underneath was like, do you mean something else? Like, Google couldn't find it, right? Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it couldn't find it. No, Google, I meant A-pop. That was not a typo. Congregation, can we be a Boaz to Aki? Let's all help Aki reunite with his family. How about it, yeah? And he said one way is to help him is by speaking English with him and get him practicing more often. If you know Japanese, you can try out your skills, but he's probably just going to laugh at you, okay? But if you haven't introduced yourself to him, especially you students, okay, try to do it today. And ask for Sega Genesis, okay? All right, don't do that. Don't ask for stuff. We don't need more stuff in our room. But after service, please grab some red wine vinegar and some bread. It will be out on the table outside. Maybe talk to Aki, and maybe we can bond with him over how disgusting it tastes. And the final thing I want to talk about is all the blessings we read in the chapter. You know, I kind of joked about the May the 4th be with you, this entire message, but there are a lot of blessings throughout this chapter, and I think we can learn from that. It seems like we've lost this in the modern day. When we greet each other, we tend to be like, hi, hello, what's up, right? But today we see that they really integrated God into the greetings. Look at the phrases today. Lord, to be with you. Lord, bless you. Repay you. Rich to reward you. Blessed is the man. Lord, bless him. Right now, the only time we ever hear about this is when people sneeze. God bless you, right? And even then, I don't even hear that anymore. It's just bless you now. We've even taken God out of it. Our modern-day well-wishings are usually something like, hope it goes well, hope it works out, I'll pray for you. Can we turn to the person on either side of us and say, the Lord be with you right now? 3, 2, 1. Okay. Now, do it one more time. Was it awkward? Yeah, it was awkward. I want to encourage us to give God's blessings to one another. Let's integrate our faith more in our greetings to one another. I admit it's going to be weird and awkward at first. I'm going to try out with the students. Okay, we're doing this starting Friday. And I may report back next time in my next message 2 months from now. But one thing I've been stressing with the youth kids is to try to be connected with God throughout the day, right? Don't just read one Bible verse in the morning and try to get through your day based on that one verse. Talk to God throughout the day. Pray for others throughout the day. I told them, you see an ambulance or fire truck, pray for that situation real quick, right? You're going through Instagram stories and just clearing out all your friends. each kid's face you press on, right? Just pray for that person. Pray for all your friends as you're going through Snap or Instagram or whatever. I'm not trying to get us to say, may the force be with you all the time, okay? Unless it's maybe the force of the Holy Spirit, all right? But I do want us to encourage to bless one another in God's name. Just like everybody in today's story. Everybody's blessing each other. Boaz to his workers, workers back. You know, Ruth and Naomi to each other. Last time I asked us to be like Naomi in her contagious faith and Ruth in her staunch declaration that your God will be my God. This week, let's be like Ruth in her treatment of others. Treat your mothers and everyone else well. Remember that others watch our behavior and conduct to others. Let's be light of the world. Treat your siblings well if you have them. Let's be like Boaz as a helper redeemer. Look for ways to help others, like helping Aki. Let's get some bread up afterwards. And let's be like everyone else today in their greetings, in their blessings. And I will start now. Not may the force be with you, but may the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings down here. May you be with us in our day-to-day lives. Help us honor you through our actions. Help us be light of the world. Help us help others. And Father, give us that conviction, Father. And we help one another, whether spiritually, emotionally, financially, physically, what other ways, Father. Help Generations Church grow. Help us love one another. In your Son's most holy and precious name, amen.